Okay, today's daf is about Basra daf Nun Dalid. We left off on daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We were right in the middle of an Indian. We had quoted a brisa that we have yet to explain, really. The brisa was quoted in context, but we explained the context already, but we just wanted to explain exactly what the brisa, some of the details of the brisa. So let's read the brisa again, going back a few lines. From Van Hirinu Ayanin Rimasnisa, that we saw a brisa that supports the idea that Rav Sheshes had taught us, because Rav Sheshes had said that if you matzia matzos b'nichse ager, you're kona. All you need to be kona in nichse ager is to lay out a mattress and lie down in the nichse ager. And we wanted to bring a raya to that idea from the brisa. Now, Tosos had said that we didn't get a chance to mention Tosos yesterday. Tosos had said v'davke hitzia aval halach bebayis u'shachav lo kana, that it's only if you put up a mattress or sheets and sleep and lie down on them, but if you just walk in the house or you just lie down on the ground of the house, then you're not kona. V'afilu matzam mitos mutzaos v'shachav aleihem mashma de lo kana. And even if you found a bed already made there, that's why you didn't lie down a mattress, because there was a bed already there, and you just lie down on the bed, even that would not be kona, because that's not a chazaka chashuva. But anyway, how do we see that from this brisa? So the Gemara quotes, Vanarinu Einin Mimasnisa. Maihi, where do we see a brisa that supports this? Titania. Keitza bechazaka, how is one kona and eved with kinyan chazaka? No, lomenalo, if the eved puts on your shoe. Oh, hita lomenalo, or he takes off your shoe. Oh, shaholuch kelev achrav l'beis amarchot, or he carries your kelim to the bathhouse for you. Viv shito, or he undresses you. Vir chitzo, he bathes you. Sacho, gardo, he anoints you. He combs you. He'll bisho, he dresses you. Vin ilo, or he puts on your shoe. Vig bio, or there's hagbah done. Kano, then you're kona the eved. I'm Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, "Lo te chazaka gadol me'agbah, shagbah kona b'kal makom." Hagbah always works. So, what exactly is the point of dispute between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon? So that's going to be what the Gemara is bothered by. Before we get to what the Gemara is bothered by, there's another fundamental problem in the Brisa. It seems to have mentioned putting on the shoe twice. Right, it says vihin ilo after having already said na'alo mina'alo. What's the difference between na'alo mina'alo and hin ilo? So the Rashbam writes by vihin ilo hainu na'alo mina'alo dereisha va'agav shitva dilbisho amenami hin ilo, that really it's the same thing. It's not anything new. But once we're already talking about everything the Eved might do for you at a bathhouse, so it's telling you how he bathes you, and then he dresses you, and then he puts on your shoes. So even though we already mentioned putting on the shoes, it mentions it again. Then, of course, the question is, why did we mention it the first time? Just mention it the second time. Meaning, I understand, the second time is in context. The first time does not seem to be in context. So other achronim explain that it must mean something different. The Rashash writes that na'al in the resha is that he tied your shoes. And that's keneged hitel amina'ala, which really means untied your shoes. Whereas over here we're talking about actually putting on the shoes, which is after the bathhouse. Rav Lezer Moshe Horvitz, also in the comments in the back of the Gemara, says in ilo is for the Gemara hahan'ala. It means for when you finish putting on the shoes, meaning na'ala mina'ala is when you put on the first shoe, and hin ilo is the putting on the second shoe. So it has to be, putting on one shoe would be enough, but putting on a second shoe would also be good enough. So it's teaching either way is good enough, starting to put on his shoes or finishing to put on his shoes. Fine, but says the Gemara, my Kamar, what's going on in this Brisa? What's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? Tanakama mentioned Hagbah, and Rabbi Shimon says, nah, Hagbah is the best. Of course Hagbah works. So what's he saying different? So Hachi Kamar, this is what he means to say. Higbil ra, and others understand, my Kamar, the question is really, what do we mean by Hagbah? What does the Tanakama mean by Hagbah? And that's how the Rashbam understands. My Kamar Igbil, the Kamar Tanakama, me Igbil to me. Who's picking who up in order for the Kenyan to work? So that's what the Gemara explains. Hachi Kamar. This is what the Tanakama means to say. Higbil the Rabo Kano. If the Eved picks up the Rav, so the Rav is Kona the Eved by the Eved picking up the Rav. How so? Because that's, you're using the services of the Eved. And we see the way to be Kona and Eved is by using the services of the Eved. Higbia Rabba lo, lo kano. If the master picks up the Eved, then the master is not Kona the Eved. Why is he not Karan of the Eved? So the Rashbam writes, Lo Shaykh Hagbah Kim B'metalpli, Shein Derech L'Hagbiyah B'nei Adam. That Hagbah only works when it's normal to pick up that item. And it's not normal to pick up an Eved. It's normal. It's not normal to pick up people. It's normal to pick up metaltalin. It's not normal to pick up people. Tos Rid asks on the Rashbam, what do you mean? We even find the Gemara where the Gemara says, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that you could be Kona an elephant through a Kinyan Hagbah. It's certainly not normal to pick up an elephant. The Gemara discusses how exactly one goes about doing that, how you are Kona an elephant with a Kinyan Hagbah. So the Gemara suggests either you put Kalim underneath each of its legs, one at a time, and that way the elephant is standing on the kalim, and therefore you are you're coned that way. Or maybe you wave food in front of it, and the elephant jumps up toward the food. So that might also be kinyan hagbah. But Tosfot points out you can't say that something that's not normal to lift is not going to be nikna b'kinyan hagbah, because you see that an elephant is nikna b'kinyan hagbah. The Nesiva says the whole machlok is only if it's hugba mikocho, but hugba biyado, if you actually lift it up with your hands, not by waving the food in front of the eved or the elephant, but if you actually lift it up with your hands, then everyone would agree that for sure the hagbah works. But anyway, so says so this seems to be the machlokas, that the Tanakhama says that if the Eved picks up the master's kona the Eved, and if the master picks up the Eved, there's no kinyan. And I'm Rabbi Shimon, lo tei chazak, gdol me hagbah, shagbah kona b'kol makom. And Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? Hagbah always works. Hagbah is kona b'kol makom. So why should hagbah not work over here? So the how do we paskin in this machlokas? So one would imagine, if it's machlokas Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, it's a Rabbanan against Rabbi Shimon, it's a Rabbim against the Yachid. So Pashas, you would paskin like the Rabbim, not like the Yachid. So that's why it's unusual. The Rambam says, im higbia es rabo, beinim higbia haravas eved kana. The Rambam says, like Rabbi Shimon, that you're kona either way. No matter who picks up who, the kinyan is chal. So the Torah asks, why does the Rambam paskin this way? It's a yachid against the Rabbim, so we should paskin like the Rabbana, not like Rabbi Shimon. So the Ravid points out that the Rambam must have had a different girsa in our Gemara. That in the Rambam's girsa of the Gemara, it said as follows, higbio hu le rabo kano, that if the Eved picks up the Rav, Tanakhama says he's kona, higbio rabo, am Rabbi Shimon lo techazak gadol me'agbah. If the Rav picks up the Eved, Rabbi Shimon teaches us that of course it's kona. But the Tanakhama never argues on that. It's just an additional point Tanakhama never spoke about in the Rambam's Girsa. Tanakhama never spoke about the Rav being Magbia the Eved. That wasn't our Inyan. The Tanakhama's Inyan was discussing different methods of the Eved serving the Rav and that working as Kinyan Chazaka. The Rav picking up the Eved is not the Eved serving the Rav, so the Tanakhama never discussed it. Rabbi Shimon was Mechadesh it, so then you understand very well why the Rambam is going to pass him like Rabbi Shimon, because there's no Machlokas. Everyone will agree to what Rabbi Shimon holds. Of course, if you pick up the item that you want to be kona, of course you'll be kona it. The problem with that approach is that it fits the Rambam okay, if you say the Rambam had such a girsa, but the Rashba Beferish has our girsa, and nevertheless the Rashba Beferish paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So there's got to be some reason to paskin like Rabbi Shimon, even if you have our girsa. Unclear exactly why. It could be because the Gemara explains the reason of Rabbi Shimon doesn't really explain the reason of the Tanakhama, so maybe that's the reason why. But the Rashba paskins like Rabbi Shimon, even though he has our girsa. Okay, now the Gemara is going to quote a series of five statements of Amoraim. Four of them are statements of Shmuel, but the first one is not. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Bira'a Amar Rabbi Yehuda. All these statements relate to chazaka, how one goes about making a kinyan chazaka on karka. So Rabbi Yirmiya Bira'a, say the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Hayman deshada lifta beipili da'ara. If a person throws lifta seeds, turnip seeds, in cracks of the land, the ger that used to belong to a ger, it's land that's now hefker, because it used to belong to a ger, and then the ger died, lavi chazaka, that's not a valid chazaka, just by throwing the seeds into the cracks. Eventually it's going to rain, and the seeds are going to get covered up, and it's going to grow something, and so isn't that just like Zriya? So the Rashbam says that no, that's not good enough. because you didn't really do anything. Shari lo aso shum tikun bekarka. You didn't really do any tikun. You didn't really fix the karka in any way. Because it's not really, he says, Hashlacha zera bekarka in a maisa. That's not really a maisa to just throw seeds down. You have to put dirt on top of it. You have to do something else. So over here, everything's going to happen by itself. All you did is throw seeds down. That's not called a maisa in the karka. And he says, it's not like Rafak Bapurta, because by Rafak Bapurta, it's a maisa begufa karka. You're doing something to the karka. Over here, you're just throwing something on the karka. And then the Rashbam says, what about when you eat the lefes once they grow? Is that a chazaka? So he says, v'achilas alefes nami ein a chazaka, d'achilas peros ein a kona. He says, eating peros from karka is not a kinyan on karka. You know what a chilas peros is? It's a cheskas gimel shanim. If you do it for 3 years straight, it could serve as a cheskas gimel shanim, but it's not a tikkun in the karka, that's going to serve as a kinyan for the karka. Right, so he says he doesn't think that that's going to serve as a kinyan. Aye, what about matzia matzos b'nechse agar? We said is a kinyan. Certainly, when you're matzia matzos, you lay out a mattress and you take a nap in the karka. You're not being misake in the karka in any way. Why is that a valid kinyan more so than throwing seeds down? So the Rashbam again explains the haslam kamishani gufo min karka. Because at least over there you're using the karka, you're getting direct hana'a from the karka. When you throw down seeds, you don't get any hana'a yet, you just threw seeds down on the ground. So it wouldn't be called hana'a from the karka. But over there, by lying down on the karka with the mattress, so that's getting hana'a from the gufa karka, and it's no different than the rav getting hana'a from the eved. That serves as a kinyan chazaka that the rav can make on an eved, so it would be just as good as doing that. Now the Rishonim, the Ritva, discusses why did we dafka choose lifta? Is there any reason why it's dafka this type of seed as opposed to any other type of seed? So the Ritva quotes some who say that lifta is samech mehera, that it grows much quicker, much more quickly, and therefore the benefit of throwing down the seed is much more immediate. And therefore, one might have thought that it is called the chazaka, even if you didn't do anything but throw down the seeds, because it's going to grow very quickly. And others say that no, it's because the derech is to be zarea lifta after you already harvest the field, and after you harvest the field, that's when there are cracks in the ground. So that's the most likely seed to be planted by just throwing it in cracks that are in the ground. But in a chinami, if there happen to be cracks in the ground any other time of the year, and therefore you're planting anything else, in a chinami the same would apply to anything else. I'm trying to think of a modern example of what we do. If you plant grass, so in order to plant grass, all you really need to do, I discovered a couple of weeks ago, is throw down grass seeds and turn on the sprinkler. And or wait for rain, and the grass will grow. There's not much of an avoda to plant grass. The garden will charge $150 for it, but it's not much of an avoda. All it is throwing down the seed. So it's mamish this exact thing. So that's not a chazaka, even though it's pretty immediate. The grass will grow within 2 weeks, so it's pretty immediate. But it's still not going to be a kinyan chazaka. The other issue is that the Rishonim discuss: is it dafka ara deger? Right, we say that if you do this on a ger's property, on which is essentially on hefker, it's not a kinyan on hefker. Is it a kinyan when you're a lokeach who's buying it from somebody and you're trying to do a kinyan chazaka? So the Yad Rama says, no, if you're huadin, if you're kona from someone, it's not a valid kinyan. And he said the reason we chose Nichse Ager as the example is to teach an extra chiddush that certainly someone who's coming to be kona from somebody else and he does this kind of chazaka, so of course he's not going to be kona because there's bailim on the karka, so he wasn't machzik in a normal way and the bailim are still there, so whatever shevach there is still belongs to the bailim. But the chiddush is even benichse ager, where this is the closest anyone's coming to owning this land, nevertheless it's still not a good kinyan. That's how the Yad Rama understands. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Second statement. Amar Shmuel. So now we're going to go through four straight statements that Shmuel made. Amar Shmuel. Hayman de Pashach Dikla. If a person starts removing branches from a dekel tree, Adaita de Diklakani, if he's doing it al das to improve the dekel tree itself, so then he's kona the tree. Adaita de Chiyusa Lokani, but if he's doing it not to improve the tree, but he's doing it because he wants the branches to feed to animals or something like that, then he's not going to be kona the tree. If you look at the Rashbam, Adaita de Chiyusa, four lines before the lines get wide, the Afagav de Memele Mahani le dekel, even though it is helping the tree because you're removing these excess branches and therefore giving room for other branches to grow properly, kiven de inu miskaven lesaken akarka dumya dunal vegadar elu lukitas perus miskaven lo havi chazaka kamachzuk shlomidastami. Since your kavana is not to be misaken the karka, then it doesn't work. You have to have kavana dafka to be misak in the karka. So it's as if you are making it's a machzik shalomidas. V'chikamer miskavin ani liknos b'lekita zu hareu k'misha holich b'shuk v'amaratz ani lahachzik b'sad aploni de b'dibur b'lomais lav chazaka de tarti b'inan shi'as atikun b'karka b'yadayim b'os atikun yem miskavin l'shem tikun k'dei lahachzik. Then he says an unbelievable chiddush. Even if while you're doing it, you're saying, yeah, I'm having kavana to help the tree also, still not good enough. Yet it has to be primarily, your pure kavana has to be for the sake of the tree. If you're doing it primarily to feed the animals, and then you just happen to mention while you're pruning the branches that you're doing it for the tree as well, that's not good enough. You need to have, he compares that to someone walking in the shuk saying, yeah, I'm having kavana to be machzik in the karka. What do you mean you're having kavana to be machzik in the karka? You're not doing a maisa of being machzik in the karka. Get to the karka and be machzik in it if you're having kavana to be machzik in the karka. Kavana alone doesn't work. You need kavana accompanied by a maisa. And a maisa that's evident that you're doing for the sake of the behema and not for the sake of the tree, no matter what kavana you say you're having, is not going to be sufficient. It's not going to be a valid chazaka. Predictably, Rishonim disagree with this. Tosos seems to disagree. Hagos Maimonios definitely thinks Tosos disagrees. Tosos seems to disagree on the top, which Adaita Tzivi Lokani, he says, V'afki b'shem esakin akarka v'chein pashach dikla Adaita d'chiyusa, he goes back to our case, even though this Tosos is going on in a later case, he says, pashach dikla Adaita d'chiyusa, when you're taking off the branches for the sake of the animals, afal pisha adekel miskan bekach, even though it happens to be that you're doing something good for the tree, it's still not a chazaka. Why? Diliolam lokani elam kein miskavein liknos. Because you're only kona when you have kavana to be kona. Tosa seems to imply that as long as you have kavana to be kona, that would be good enough. So it seems to be machlokas, Tosas and the Rashbam over here, whether having kavana to be kona while pruning for the sake of the animals is going to be good enough. So says the Gemara, well, how do you know what a guy's intention is, whether he's intending primarily to be kona or primarily for the animals? Heichidami, shakol mehagisa mehagisa adaita tadikla. If he's equal opportunity, he takes a little bit from this side, a little bit from that side. So that's adaita tadikla. That's clearly to improve the tree. Kula michad gisa adaita dechiusa. But if he takes all from one side, then it's clearly adaita dechiusa. Then it's clearly aldas just to use whatever he's removing from the tree for the animals, but clearly not for the best interest of the tree. So it's based on how he does the avoda that we could tell whether it's chazaka or not. Now, what you see clearly from here, and from all the examples the Gemara is going to give, from all the Shmuel statements, is that the maisa of the kinyan chazaka has to be muchach mitoch maisav, that you're miskaven to be kona the karka. It has to be evident from what you do that your kavana is to be kona the karka. Meaning, it's not good enough to do something. It has to be something that's evident that's for the benefit of the karka. So the Rama, quoted in the Torah, quotes the Rama that this din is true when you're machzik b'nichsei ager and is also true when you're lokeach mechavero. That it needs to be muchach mitoch ma'asav, that your intention is to be kona. But the Torah quotes Rav Haigon, who disagrees. He says that that a lokeach is going to be kona even if it's not muchach mitoch ma'asav. This din that it needs to be muchach mitoch ma'asav is only when you're being kona b'nichsei ager. But when it comes to lokeach, it is muchach mitoch ma'asav anyway. Not mitoch ma'asav, but it's muchach that you're having intention to be kona. Why? Because the mocher said to you, lechazekukni, or you gave him money. There's something else going on. He's standing right there. You're being machzik b'fanav. You just gave him money. So it's muchach anyway that your intention is to be kona, even if you're not doing it in a way that's so clearly beneficial to the land. But at the end of the day, it is somewhat beneficial, even though it's not the most beneficial way, like pruning only one side of the tree and not the other side, taking all the branches from only one side, that would be a kinyan by a lokeach. It's only not a kinyan when it comes to being machzik b'nichse ager. That's the shita of Rav Haigon quoted in the Tur. Third statement, second statement of Shmuel, third statement overall about Chazaka, Va'amar Shmuel, Hayman Dezachi Zikaya. If a person is clearing out a field, Sadaita Da'arakani, if you're clearing out the field from whatever weeds and things like that, say if you're doing it al das to improve the land, then you're Kona. Adaita Tzivi Lokani, if you're doing it for the sake of getting the wood that you're removing from the field, then you're not Kona. So that's what the Tosos we mentioned before, right? The Tosos says that even though it is misak in the karka, unless you have kavana to be misak in the karka. So hechidami, how do you know if the guy is intending primarily for the wood or he's intending primarily to improve the land? So shakal rav revizutri adai tadara. If he takes large branches and small branches, then clearly it's for the sake of the land. Shakal Ravravi Vishavak Zutri Adai Tzivi. If he takes large ones and leaves the small ones, then for sure he only wants the wood, because the larger ones are more usable for wood. The small ones are just annoying to have in the field, are problematic for the field. So if he leaves the small ones and takes the large ones, clearly Al Das for the wood. Now, one case the Gemara didn't mention is what if he only takes the small ones and leaves the large ones, right? What's that? Is that a daita dar? Is that a daita tzivi? So the Ritva points out, when we say shakal ravravi vizutri, that it's clearly for the benefit of the land, that's a chiddush. That it's l'rabusa nakat, that he said that he takes both the ravravi and the zutri. For sure, if he only took the small ones, that's for sure l'tzorach hakarka. Because if your kavana is for firewood, then you would have taken the larger ones. Meaning it's not so much how much improvement are you doing in the land, but is there any alternative of what you might be thinking? Meaning, clearly, removing everything is a greater tikkun to the land than only removing the small ones. So why is it that removing only the small ones is an even greater kinyan than removing everything? Because when you remove everything, it's possible that you're going to use a lot of that stuff for firewood. When you remove only the small ones, it's evident that you're not using it for firewood. So what must you be using it for? It must be that it's purely to clean out the land. So it's based on not only how much of a tikkun it is to the karka according to the Ritva, but how clear it is based on your action that you're not doing it for anything else, right? That there's no other alternative of what you might be intending to accomplish. Says the Gemara Vayter, fourth statement in terms of Kinyan Chazaka, Vamr Shmuel, Hayman de itkel tikla adait de arakani. If a person removes stumbling blocks, so if he's doing an aldas to improve the land, he's kona. Adait de bedari lo kani. The Rashbam understands this means if he's doing it to make a threshing floor on that land, then he's not kona. Well, what's wrong with the threshing floor on the land? Why is that not a kinyan? So the Rashbam says, Gorin ladusham tvua de kiven de karka ze lecharisha omed, because this karka is able to be plowed and planted, and you can use it for real valuable use. For lola gorin, it's not made just to use as a threshing floor. You know, you use as a threshing floor rocky land that you can't do anything else with. Such a land you'll use as a threshing floor, but this land is usable. It's plantable. And even if you start using it as a threshing floor, it's still not good enough. It's still not a kinyan chazaka. You need to do harisha, zaria. You need to do something that's normal to do with this land. Having so long as you have a threshing floor on this land, you're being mekalka of the land. You're not maximizing the value of the land. Anything that seems like a tikkun, but eventually it's going to be wiped away because ultimately you're going to realize that there's greater benefit to this land, is not a tikkun at all, rather it's a kilkul. And says Rashbam, "V'lo dami l'nal v'gada v'rafik beporta." It's not like locking up the fence, you know, building a fence or plowing a little or digging a little bit, vashkas mayim or watering. Shekolvar malalu ein sof l'nasasran. Those are all things that are the beginning of a larger tikkun. Though you're not going to ultimately destroy those things. Aval goren says sof l'kalkul l'nasasran deker dar l'charish kaima. But a goren is something that's ultimately going to be destroyed. This land is meant to be plowed, and you're not plowing it. Avlim Ratzel Asham Gorin Kavua Liolam. He says, ah, but if it's not Sofa Lisaser, if it's not going to be destroyed, let's say you have enough land, you own so much land that you're able to plow and plant and it produces so much, you just need a threshing floor. So it's not your fault that the best available land or the cheapest available land happens to be Roy L'Charisha also, but you clearly want to make a threshing floor and you want to make it a threshing floor for good. So he says, then it would be a good chazaka. He says, if you want to make a Gorin Kavua Liolam, what greater chazaka could there be if you're going to use this land for this purpose forever, and you start doing that, you start using it for a threshing floor, then for sure it's going to be good. So, but says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, how do we know if you intend to use it for a threshing floor, or you intend or your intention in evening out the land, the karka, is for the sake of planting? So shakal mulya v'shada benatza adai tadara. If you take from a mound and you throw it into a ditch, meaning you're trying to even out the land by taking the higher parts and digging and putting that dirt into ditches to fill them in, to even it out in that way, so then clearly you're trying to improve the land. Mulya b'mulya b'natza b'natza adaita d'bedari. But if you're taking from the mounds and putting it on the mounds, and you're taking from the ditches and putting in the ditches, then it's adaita d'bedari. Then you're clearly making a threshing floor. What in the world does that mean? How does that make a threshing floor? You're making the high points higher, the low points lower. You're destroying everything. Then it's making it useless, isn't it? So the Rashbam explains that no, what you're doing is those areas that are higher points, you're making larger. You're making, if it's a mound that only has, that the surface area on top is only a couple of amos, you're making it a few more amos so you can use that area for threshing. Now, in terms of planting, it's terrible because for planting, you'd want to plant the entire field at once. But for threshing, you just need spots to thresh. So you have a spot here, a spot there, and that's what you're doing in the ditches also. Right? And that's the Yad Ramah explains that what it means, mulya b'mulya, is you're taking from a mound, and how does Yad Ramah explain again? He says when we say mulya b'mulya, that it means that by making a mound b'makom acher, you're misakin this mulya, meaning you're not makbid to take dirt from a mound and dafka throw it into a pit in the ground, dafka throw it into a ditch. Rather, you just spread it out evenly, because clearly you're only interested in this one spot. You're not interested in evening out the entire land. That's the key over here. That if you're showing interest in evening out the entire land, then that's making it ready for Zriya. But if you're only showing interest in evening out spots on the land, that's not showing interest in making it ready for Zriya. Now, if you look at Tosfos disagrees with Rashbam's Pshat. Tosfos writes, Hikshar Rabbeinu Yosef Dorleans, the second Tosfos, it makes it sound in our Gemara that in order to plow a field, you need more even ground than you do for threshing. He says, but that's not true. The Metzius is not true. The Metzius is that for threshing, you need more even ground than you do for plowing. He says also that which Rashbam says, that if you plan to make a Gorin Kavua there forever, then it is a good Kenyan. But how are you supposed to read the guy's mind, whether the Gorin is only going to be temporary or whether it's going to be Kavua? It's impossible to read the guy's mind. How are you going to know whether it's only temporary or whether it's going to be Kavua? So the Ritva says that the two Kashas on the Rashbam answer each other minei ubei, because if you intend to make a garden kavua, you're going to make sure to be mash for the karka yafa yafa. You're going to make sure to make the karka so even and so perfect, even better than you would for harisha, like we do, right? That's what he says we do. But if your intention is not for a garden kavua, it's just for a makeshift garden, then the level of evening out the ground is not going to be as great as the evening out the ground that you would do for the sake of harisha. So it's a sharp vart that the two kashas answer each other. But anyway, the Rimur Alins didn't think so, and therefore the Rimur Alins was chalek on the Rashbam. What does he say? V'yimefarish to beidari dahacha haynu lahamit shem behemos. He says the beidari over here means to put animals in the land. And therefore it's teaching us that by just putting animals on the land, you're not kona. If you're evening out the land just so that animals could be there, where the land doesn't really need to be that even in order to keep animals there, then you're not going to be kona. Tana. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yasha rejects the Rimi Orleans. He says, if it was for animals, the Gemara in this Perek talks about when you prepare land for animals, and it says, Adait l'uk michiyusa. Right, it says it much more directly, rather than saying beidari. So Rabbeinu Tam heishav lo shema yudashim b'morigim v'lo yitzrich nahashlos karka kolkach. Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar was more mavuar that he disagrees with the Rimi Orleans, and he tries to be miyashev the Rashbam a little bit. He says vaday that it's talking about for goren, it's not talking about for animals. The only thing is, he says there's no chilik between a goren kavua and a goren sheino kavua. On that level, he disagrees with the Rashbam. Okay, fifth statement says the Gemara of Amar Shmuel, the final statement relating to chazaka, relating to specific actions that are done, whether they are good chazaka or not. Amar Shmuel, Hayman de pasach maya ba'ara adait dara kani. If you open up water into a land, so if you're doing it to irrigate the field, then certainly you're kona. Adait de kavri lo kani. If you're doing it just to try to catch the fish, then you're not kona. Hey chidami, how could we tell what your intention is? So pasach shrei bavi chad ma'ayil v'chad ma'pik adait de kavri. If you open up two waterways, one to let the water in, one to let the water out, then clearly you intend to catch the fish. You just want the water to get through there and the fish to be left, to be flooded back in the field. But if it's only in one direction and you want the water to sit there a little bit, so then clearly you're trying to irrigate the field. Okay, so that's the way we could read a person's mind and figure out what his intention is. Hahi itza, there was a woman, the achla dikla b'tavshicha tleis arshnin, who used the dekel tree for 13 years, but it was bitafshicha, which means she was removing the branches or the fruits from the tree only on one side, right? Clearly doing it in a way that's intended to use what she takes from the tree for the animals and not to actually improve the tree. So asa hu rafik tu se porta. Then another guy comes, who Gavra probably should say, yeah, who Gavra comes, another guy comes, and after 13 years of this woman using the tree in this way, another guy comes and just digs a little bit under the tree. So asa kamed levi v'amala kamed marukva ukme biyade. So they either came in front of Levi or in front of Marukva, and whoever it was, the rabbi said that this second guy who came along and just dug a little bit underneath the tree, he's the one that's kona, and the woman loses the tree. Unbelievable. Why? Because she wasn't asai katzavcha kame. She started to scream, what are you talking about? 13 years I've been by that tree. He said, I'm sorry, in 13 years you never did a normal chazaka. You never did anything that's the normal way of being machzik in the tree. So it doesn't mean anything. Amarav had sarat sura binichse ager kane. The rav lo kani leganse de beirav el betzurasa. That if a person draws pictures on a ger's property, so he's kona that property. Because after all, Rav himself was only kona the ginsa de beirav, which was an area that he owned, by drawing pictures. So just drawing pictures on the walls is enough to be a real kinyan. Says Rashbam, interestingly, hatsar tsura, tsuras chaya o of. If you draw pictures of birds or animals, right, or wild animals, that's a way of on the walls of the house. You some draw such pictures, so that's going to be kone. Rashbam also mentions, wait a second, we just mentioned yesterday that don't you need an amma by an amma keneged pesach in order for a drawing or an engraving to mean anything? So why is any sort of picture good enough over here? So he says no. Previously, we were talking about just making some sort of engraving without a real image. Over here, when you're drawing an image, when you're making an image of something, so it's a much more chash of a thing, then any tziur bialma, then an image of a chay or an oaf, where it's a chash of a thing, then you only need to make one picture of a chay, one picture of an oaf. You don't need an amma, you don't need it to be connected to Pesach. It's chash of enough that you don't have any of those requirements. Previously, we were talking about making grass, flowers, things like that, that are just more of a general image, less chashuv, and therefore you would need an amma by an amma connected to Pesach. That's the chilik between the two. Now, why does he give the example of chaya and of as opposed to tsuras adam? So the Hagos from a Gedalia Lipschitz, and the Gemara suggests that the Rashbam Dafka chose chaya or of because it might be that tsuras adam is aser to make, meaning that maybe you're not allowed to draw an image of a person. Maybe that's some sort of iser. And therefore, if it's asur to make, it wouldn't be good chazaka. It would be similar to achla asad the gimel shnos arla. It would be similar to cheskas gimel shanim during the 3 years of arla that we spoke about earlier. However, it's more likely that the Rashbam chose this example of chayav ha'of to teach us that this is to show us that even chayav ha'of is chashav enough that you don't need an amah in keneged the Pesach. That obviously, for sure, it's Tzuras Adam is chashav enough that you wouldn't need an amah in keneged the Pesach. But even it's Tzuras chayav ha'of. What kind of, where do you have a violation of losas l'cha pesel? That's only when you make a three-dimensional image of a person. But stam, a picture of a person, a tzura of a person, is not enough. In fact, Tosos in Yuma Daf Nundalid says that those who are mitzayer b'machzorim, tzuros chayos va'ofos, people who make pictures of birds and wild animals in machzorim, if you ever look at old svarim, you know, I mentioned I was at Sotheby's a month ago, at the and there was a collection of really old svarim. A lot of them just have pictures of animals and people, a lot of illustrations, just around the page, just around the words. And not svarim that where the illustrations are necessarily have anything to do with the text. It's a Tshuva Sarashba, and just illustrations around it to beautify the page. It was very common. So Tosfos quotes this idea in Maseches Yuma that those people who make such pictures in the Machzorim, Tosfos says, lo yafa heimosim. They're not doing something good because it's likely to ruin your kavana. I mean, you're going to start thinking, oh, what a nice picture, instead of thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam when you're davening. But Tosfos says, it's not an isser of losasa l'chapesel, because losasa l'chapesel is only when it's bolet or shakua, only when it's a three-dimensional image. Over here, it's not a three-dimensional image. And the raya is from our Gemara. Our Gemara was that Rav went and was tzar tzura. He made pictures. He made pictures of, and Rashbam says, different animals, or whatever it may have been that he was making pictures of, and that's apparently okay, that you're allowed to do. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, after the two dots, Itmar, Sada Masuyamas B'Mitzreha, if you have a field that's clearly defined by its borders, Amarav Huna Amarav, Kimen Shehikish B'Makosh Echad, Kanakula, that you just stick the shovel in once, you're cut of the entire field. Ah, you only did a chazak on one spot of the field, but it's very clear where the borders of the field are. So somewhere in the field, you did a chazaka, it's kind of the whole field. Ushmol Amar Lo Kana Elamako Makusha Belvad. Shmuel says, no, you're only kona that one spot. You're not kona anywhere else in the field, right? Says the Rashbam, though, v'dafka nichse ager. That's only true when it comes to nichse ager. Aval mecher v'kibol zuze afilu eser sados peser medinos v'chzik b'achzmei kana kulan. But if it's something that you paid for, and then even if you have 10 different fields, even if it's not one defined field, it's 10 different fields in 10 different locations, all you need to do is chazaka on one of them and you kona all of them. So by mecher, we know the Gemara tells us it's going to work. Right? Over here, it's dafka, when you're talking about being kona machzik b'nichse ager, a maklish echad in the middle of a field is not going to work. V'she'ena v'suyemes b'mitzra ad kama. What if it's not clearly defined? The borders of the field are not clearly defined. Then what? So what exactly is the Gemara's question? Let's see what the Gemara's answer is, and then we'll go back to what the question is. Amrav papa k'da'azl tayar d'shuri v'hadar. As much as you go one way, plowing, and then going back another way, another row. So what does that mean? So the Rashbam and Tosfos disagree as to what the Shakla Vitaria is over here. The Rashbam says, V'shein v'syamas mitzreha, ela bika gedola uphusa upsucha l'sados acherim, ol rishus harabim ad kama tzarech l'achbar v'yikna kula. What the Rashbam is saying is, the question is, Rav just said that if you pick one spot in the field, then and dig in it, you're kind of the whole field as long as it's a clearly defined field. According to Shmuel said, you're only kind of that spot. According to Rav, that you're kind of the entire field when the field is clearly defined. What if it's not so clearly defined and there are lots of fields together? What does it take to be kind of several fields together? Right, so we're asking Aliba de Rav. Now, according to Shmuel, now clearly, if it's Eina Mesiyamas, it's not going to help at all. Even by Mesiyamas, you're not kona the spot where you work on. So, according to Shmuel, it's not a Shaila. The whole Shaila is only within Rav, and the Gemara answers Kedazel Tayara Deturi Vahader Kishiyachrosh Semen Bakar Shura Achas Mikseig Vlasad Vadketzayu Vahader Ubechazrasa Yasa Od Shura. When you go with the cattle one way and then back another row, Od Shura Acheres Dainu Shtei Shuros Alpnei Kol Asad Misfasa Al Sfasa Mizrach Lamarav. You go east to west across the entire field. So mitoch kach You make two rows east to west, you cover the entire field north south as well. That's considered as if you plowed the entire field, and therefore in that way you're kona the entire field. That's how the Rashbam understands. Tosos understands the Shaklavatari differently. Says Tosos Pirush Kama Yikna B'Makush Echad Kida Azul Tayara Deturi V'Hadar. Meaning the question is, how much are you kona when you do this, right? When you go back and forth, how much of the field are you kona? Shemi Dastal Mehino Yodami. Meaning there is a pre. There's a self-understood normal amount that is considered one row, right? There's an endless amount of field over here. So the question is, when there's an endless amount of field, it's an endless length. So if you go the normal amount for one row and back, how much of the field are you kona? That's the question the Gemara is asking. Totally different than the way the Rashbam says this is lo kapirusha kutras, not like the Rashbam said. Now, in terms of the actual machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, right? We had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. When you pick one spot in a field that has clearly defined borders, are you kona only that spot, or are you kona the entire field? So normally, what would you say if you have machlokas, Rav and Shmuel? Hilchsuk is Shmuel bedini. You would normally always paskin like Shmuel. However, the Rambam over here paskins like Rav. And the Ritva says we paskin like Rav. Why would we paskin like Rav? After all, Hilchsuk Shmuel bedini. So the Ritva explains that Rav Papa is within Rav. Certainly, according to the way the Rashbam explained, right? The Rashbam said beferish that Rav Papa's whole question, the Gemara's whole follow-up discussion, is within Rav. So, and we find that Rav Nachman did like Rav as well. We'll see. So, clearly, therefore, in this case, this would be an exception. This would be a place where we would pass him like Rav. Says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. Nichsei Ovid Kochavim Harehin Kamidbar. If you have Nechasim that belonged to a guy, they are like Hefker. What does that mean? You're allowed to just take a guy's property? No, that's not what it means. The Rashbam explains, Nichsei Ovid Kochavim, that we're talking about over here, are when a guy sold land to a Jew, a guy sells land to Reuven, and the Reuven pays the guy money for the land, but Reuven has not yet made a Kinyan Chazaka in the land. Now, Reuven paying money was not a kinyan for Reuven, for the Jew, but in terms of the Gaiish law, the guy receiving the money is a kinyan for him. So as far as he's concerned, he's no longer the owner of the field. As far as the guy is concerned, it's Hefker. As far as the Jew is concerned, Reuven, he hasn't yet been kona it. So he's not the owner, it's Hefker, right? So if Shimon wants to come along and quickly take the land after Reuven pays for it, before Reuven does anything to be kona it, so Shimon's entitled to take the land. My taima, Ovid Chav B'chimati Zuzuliyadeh, is Talikle. From the second the guy gets the money, he's misalik his own bailus from the field. Yisrolo Kaniyatamati Shtar Liyadeh. But the Jew's only going to be kona once he gets the shtar in hand. Therefore it has a din of a midbar, it has a din of hefker, and anyone come and take it. Amalei Abay the Rav Yosef, Miyomer Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really say that? Vamer Shmuel Dina the Malchus Adina, Umalka Amar Lo Likniar Elabi Garta, doesn't Shmuel hold Dina the Malchus Adina, and the Dina the Malchus is that you're only Kona with a star, that you're not Kona with anything less than a star? So Amalei, Anole Yodani, says, look, I don't know how to answer your question, but Uvda Havdu B'dur Dur Usa B'Yisrael, the Zavan Armei of Chavim, I know that a story happened in Dor Dur Usa where a Jew bought land from a guy. Va'asi Yisrael Achrina Rafik Baporta. And then another Jew came and plowed a little bit, dug a little bit in the ground. Asal Kameh to Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda, Ukma B'yada D'Sheni, and he let the second guy keep it. So Amalei Dur Dur Usa Kamrit, you bring me a raya from Dor Dur Usa? Over there, those were hidden lands that people were always running away from the taxes. And therefore the king said, whoever wants to pay the taxes, you're going to be the new owner of the land. So over there, the Dina de Malchus is, whoever's willing to come and pay the taxes can be the owner of the land. So that's why it worked over there. But normally it wouldn't work. We would have to follow the Dina de Malchus. So obviously, Dina de Malchus is a very big sugya. Once gave a long share on it, but we don't have time to get into it now, just to make a ha'ara not related to Dina Malchus Adina. The Rashbam says this idea that the second guy can come and take it, so is the first guy entitled to his money back? I mean, Reuven paid money to the guy for this field. Now Shimon comes in and is kohen of the field. So says Rashbam, Yesh Mefarshim Demos Mir Yachzor Lokeach Rishon. There are Yesh Mefarshim that you have to give the money back to Reuven. Veli Ein Nira Klal Dimkein Mai Harehin Kemidbar El Zach Ben Lagamri Vim Yachzor Lokeach Rishon Nadun Emovik Chavim Lahotzim Ben Emosav Yasin Vin Lav Yafsin. Says Rashbam, it's the Rishon's problem how to get his money back. If he wants to go and sue the guy and try to get his money back, Gazuntei, go sue the guy. Now, what does that mean? The Rosh says, what does it mean, go sue the guy? Is he going to tell the guy to kick Shimon out? That's Mesira. He can't go tell the guy to kick Shimon out. He has to try something else with the guy, but it can't be to go kick Shimon out of the land. Maybe tell the guy, look, I never ended up with the field. Maybe give him something. I don't know. And the Rishonim point out, it's very difficult, and Rush also points out, difficult to understand what the Rishonim is talking about. Medina Degayim, the guy didn't do anything wrong. The guy's going to win. So how's he going to convince the guy to get the money back? I mean, the Rashbam is saying, what the Rashbam likely means is, good luck, you're on your own. Meaning he's not really going to get his money back, but the Shimon could tell Reuven, try, I don't know, you never know, maybe you'll get lucky. He says, nevertheless, Shimon is still a Rasha for doing this. Even though Shimon doesn't have to give Reuven money, but Shimon is still a Rasha. It's at least like an Ani Amahapich Becharara, where the guy you see is already involved trying to engage in a certain business, and you go in and you pull it out from under him. So that's at least he's a Rasha for that. That's a machlokes Rishonim. Not all the Rishonim are convinced that this is exactly Ani Amahapich Becharara, because Ani Amahapich Becharara might only be when you invest in a business and therefore undermine the Ani. But if you're taking something from Hefker, so why are you a Rasha when you're investing in a business undermining an Ani? Because go invest in another business. Right, but when it's coming, take something from Hefker. How many Hefker fields are there? They're not just Hefker fields all over the place where you could just go take another Hefker field. So both points of the Rashbam are disputable and are major discussions in the Rishonim. Again, we don't have so much time for it now. And Bez Hashem will pick up from Rav Huna tomorrow.